I think that it's best that we look at the scripture to see that. And you know, one thing I like to make the word practical. You know, I feel that if somebody comes around and they're always talking about holiness and they're talking about I need to be holy and they don't tell me how to be holy, then you really haven't helped me. Or what you've done is you've just frustrated me a little bit more. You know, sometimes I like to listen to good preaching on the radio. But you know, sometimes I turn it off. You know why? Because, man, MacArthur came at me with this. Jeremiah came at me with that. Stanley came with that. Swindoll came with that. And I'm like, wow, it's too much. Too much. I can't get a hold of it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of Resolutions to a Holy Life from Psalm 101. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 101, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Resolutions to a Holy Life.
A holy life before the Lord. David desired to live a life of holiness that would be reflected in his personal life, in his home, and in the kingdom of Israel. So that's the background to the psalm. Let us read the psalm. It says, I will sing of mercy and justice unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Look at this. He talks about how he's going to live in his home. He said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. Whoso secretly slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off, and him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. So now he's exercising his kingly rule and his kingly authority. And he's so gripped with this idea of holiness that he not only wants it to be manifested in his personal life, in his home, but he also wants it to be manifest in his kingdom. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. This psalm, the 100th psalm, we will use as our text this morning, and the title of the message is Resolutions to a Holy Life. Resolutions to a holy life. You know, I get a little concerned sometimes because I think that we have this concept of holiness that is one extended beyond our reach. We think that holiness is something that we cannot attain. One of the things that I have come to the realization of being a man of the flesh, when I say a man of the flesh, I mean a man that has been constructed in the flesh by God, and realizing the issues that I have to deal with in the flesh, that this thing of holiness, if we really look at how God has provided it and made it practical for us to be holy, you know, some folk don't want to acknowledge the fact, well, I can never be holy. And as a matter of fact, over the years, people have had different concepts of holiness. There have been the isolationists, and these have been people who felt that in order to get close to God, they had to get away from everybody else. And as a matter of fact, there was one guy, Anthony. He gave all that he owned to the poor, and he lived alone in an Egyptian desert by himself. And he thought that that was his way to holiness. And, you know, it probably was a good thing that he lived alone because he also vowed that he would never take a bath. So it's probably a good thing that he did make that vow. But there have been some that have said that the only way to holiness is to isolate yourself. And I must admit that the times I find myself most in control, the time I find myself being able to attain holiness to some degree is when I'm by myself. You know, sometimes when you deal with folk, they will mess up this thing called holiness in your life. You know, you can determine to be holy, but, you know, sometimes when you got to deal with people, you know, they'll take you away from your sainthood real. You know, they'll drop that S on the beginning of the word. They'll not make you a saint. They'll make you ain't. Holiness we're talking about this morning. Some believe that holiness can be obtained through legalism, that if we will be strict in the way that we observe our laws, and that if we will follow guidelines to the T, and that we even put guidelines to help us to keep those guidelines and guidelines to help us keep those guidelines, and we follow strictly these guidelines, that we can be holy. And that was the concept that the Pharisees had. And the problem with that is that many times the secondary laws become more important than the primary laws, and then you find yourself, as Jesus said, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. And so that has not led to holiness. Some folk just figure that, well, you know what? We can never be holy, so let's keep sinning, because the more we sin, the more grace God will give us, and the more grace God gives us, the better in his favor that we are. And so that has been the concept of some people's holiness. Some people have believed that holiness is attained through perfectionism, that all of a sudden you get caught up in this state of spiritual euphoria, the state of nirvana, where you just kind of become so enraptured with yourself and so enraptured with God that you just kind of lift away from everybody else, and that you are in this state separated and consecrated from everybody else. And that has put a black eye on holiness. And then there have been people who just have said, just let go and let God. Let go and let God make you holy. And so we see that as good as some of these attempts are to explain and define holiness, I think that it's best that we look at the scripture to see that. And, you know, one thing I like to make the word practical. You know, I feel that if somebody comes around and they're always talking about holiness, and they're talking about I need to be holy, and they don't tell me how to be holy, then you really haven't helped me. Or what you've done is you've just frustrated me a little bit more. You know, sometimes I like to listen to good preaching on the radio. But, you know, sometimes I turn it off. You know why? Because, man, MacArthur came at me with this, Jeremiah came at me with that, Stanley came with that, Swindoll came with that. And I'm like, wow, it's too much, too much. I can't get a hold of it. And sometimes I just need to take just one truth that I've learned from somebody and just meditate on that and ruminate on it. And sometimes, you know, this thing called holiness can be the same thing. We can have so much coming at us and so many ideas that we just kind of go berserk. But we want to make it practical to say, you can be holy. Now, the God's standard for holiness has always been the same. In Leviticus 11:44, he says, be ye therefore holy because I am holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, in the New Testament, over 1,000 years later, Peter comes along and said the same thing. God says, be ye holy, therefore, because I am holy. Now, I want to say this, that the only way that you can have intimate fellowship with God is to live a holy life. Now, that you in your mind, you might have eliminated yourself right there. But I'm going to let you know in a second that you can include yourself back in. You can be holy. You can be holy. Look at Psalm, since we're in the Psalm, Psalm 24. Psalm 24, that you have to be holy to have intimate fellowship with God. Psalm 24 and verse 3. It says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand into his holy place? Now, these are metaphors for the presence of God. And it says, who can come into the presence of God? Who can have intimate fellowship with God? Verse 4, he who hath clean hands and a pure heart. So right there, a pure heart. It boils down to a pure heart. It boils down to holiness. And he goes on to say some other things. But if your heart is pure, everything else is going to be all right. Now, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Who will see God? Who will have the opportunity to see God? Only the pure in heart. Now, I got good news for you today. I got some real good news for you. Is that you can be holy. Holiness can be attained because we have been equipped for holiness. Now, look at the notes here. Holiness can be attained because you have been equipped for it. First of all, we've been given a new life. Born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have been given a new life to help you be holy. You've also been given an example, Jesus Christ. So we ought to walk even as he walked. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. You got an example. You have been given instructions from the word of God. For all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You've been given the word of God. You've been given power, the Holy Spirit. But after this, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. You've been given the method to ask for help, and that is prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You've been given prayer. Now look at this. You've been given daily renewal, so that when you mess up, 1 John 1:9 says that if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have been given daily renewal so that when you fall off the holiness boat, you can get back on again. And I like this right here. We've been given hope. Paul called the carnal Corinthians saints. Now go back and read 1 Corinthians. In chapter 2, there was division about who baptized who. In chapter 4, there were carnally minded people. In chapter 5, there was a guy who was shacking up with his stepmother. In chapter 6, believers were taking believers to court. In chapter 7, folk were getting divorced for any reason at all. In chapters 8 and 9, they were worshiping idols. In chapter 10, they were following bad examples. In chapter 11, there was a whole issue around communion. In chapter 12, they were confused over spiritual gifts. In chapter 13, they needed more love. In chapter 14, there was a whole controversy around tongues. In chapter 15, they needed some instruction on the resurrection. In chapter 16, they needed some practical encouragement. And Paul spends his whole book addressing a church full of broken sinners who needed correction. And he called them saints. That gives me hope. Look. I'm not trying to be comparative, but I know I'm not that bad. I know I'm not that bad. And Paul called them saints. So you are a saint. Some people say, well, how do you greet the people of God? I call them saints. If I come into a room with a group of people in it, and I see believers in there, what's going on, saints? God bless you, saints. Why? Because that's what you are. You're a saint. And you know what? Sometimes we need to start thinking like we're saints. We need to start thinking like God has given us this new life, that we have the example in Jesus Christ. We have instructions in the Bible. We've been given power through the Holy Spirit. We've given prayer to help us. We've been given forgiveness when we fall, and we've given hope through the carnal-minded Corinthians, and that we can be holy. So don't let anybody let you think that holiness is something out there that you can't attain. You know, don't let somebody think that holiness is this lofty idea that's out there in nirvana where you have to somehow osmose into it, and then one day you're just kind of floating out there, even though you're in the world, you're just floating out there in a state of, no. Holiness basically means to be separated from things that are sinful and wicked and consecrated unto God. That's what it means to be holy. And everybody can do that. See, I want you to see that I can grab a hold of holiness. I can be holy. And that's why David says in Psalm 101, he made some resolutions to a holy life. Or I like the song, and I put it right there in the middle of your notes. The songwriter says, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what you want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will and conform it to yours, O Lord. That's what holiness is all about. You want to know how to be holy? Ask the Lord to take your heart and form it. Ask him to take your mind and transform it. Ask him to take your will and conform it. That's what holiness is all about. And so as we look at that, we move on with these resolutions to a holy life. And I'm going to hit these real quick and I'll be done. Resolution number one that David made in Psalm 101. Resolution number one, he said that he was going to be holy in his conduct. Holy in his conduct. He says in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. David realized that it was one way for him to act, and that was to be holy. I'm going to behave myself. I'm going to act right because I serve an audience of one. That God is the one who knows my heart. That God is the one who knows what I'm all about. So David did a look at himself, and he said, in my conduct, in my being, I'm going to behave myself wisely. Yeah, I have a confession to make. I have a confession to make. I like to listen to music I listened to when I was growing up. And every now and then, most of the time I listen to Christian music, but every now and then I might buy a CD of something that I listened to when I was growing up. And a couple months ago, there was a song that I wanted to listen to. I went and bought the CD because I liked, when I was growing up, I bought the CD. And I had the CD on and I was listening to it as I was exercising. And some things started talking. And I said, I never remember hearing that in the song. I don't remember hearing that. And as I was walking, the Lord spoke to me right there. Now, I hate to waste money. Saints, believe me. Ask my wife. I hate to waste money. But the Lord spoke to me right there and said, man, you don't need to have this. You don't need to have this. And I threw it in the trash. And somebody told me, oh, you should have gave it to me. No. And I threw it. And I said, you know, I can't waste the Lord's money like this anymore. So I'm going to be very, very discerning as to what I buy. But I just, you know, it was just something that the Lord has spoke to my heart. And the Lord say, look, man, you got to walk the talk. You know, you can't be going around listening to just anything. And I had to let it go. I had to let it go because God said that, you know, this is not the way that a child of God should act. This is not the way that a child of God, this is not the type of thing a child of God needs to be listening to. And you know what? David realized that. And David said, you know what? He said that I want my life to come in accordance with the will of God so that in everything that I do, that I'll be pleasing to him. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. In the notes you see, it says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And people's destinies are shaped and formed by thoughts that turn into acts, that turn into habits, that turn into characters, that turn into destiny. And you might think that something that you're doing is so innocent, is so insignificant, but if it's something that's interfering with the holiness, it's blocking the holiness in your life, David said, I'm going to behave myself wisely, that there are some things that I have to let go. And you know what? When you get a glimpse of who God is, you know, things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. And you know, I don't want anybody to think, because some young people think that, oh man, this Christian life is so boring. It's just, you know, a bunch of do's and don'ts, and here go Pastor Glaze. See, some people are shut me down already because here he go talking about holiness. Here he go again. I don't even want to hear this. He talking nonsense to me. But I tell you what, man, I've had so much enjoyment out of life since I became a child of God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, man, I enjoy my life. If I was to die today, I would at least go into heaven and say, Lord, you know what? I've had a lot of joy since I've become a Christian. Oh, I can't say that the road has been easy. I can't say that the times have not been tough. But you know what? I've had joy in my life, and that when I lay my head down at night, I've got peace in my soul, and I've got joy in my heart, and everything between me and God is all right. And I've been out there. And a lot of y'all, as I said earlier, y'all been out there. And you know where it leads to. Three things: death, dirt, and destruction. Those are the three things. And some people just are caught up for the moment. They're caught up for the moment, and that's all they can see. But they don't look at the end result. And the end result is destruction. David realized that my character, my destiny is being shaped right here on the behavior of my life. That the little choices that I make in my life actually is shaping my character and my destiny. And I'm not going to make those soft, easy choices that's going to cause me to end up with a destiny that I don't want. Resolution to be holy in conduct. Resolution number two, to be holy in cohabitation. Now, I put that there. Let me clean that up. All right, let me clean it up. I looked it up in a dictionary. Cohabitate means to live together as a family, all right? So we're talking about a legal family. All right, and plus we're talking about being holy, so you can't cohabitate, you know, and not be married and be holy too. That's an oxymoron. All right, so let me clean that up. But look what he said in verse 2. He says at the end, he said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, David realized that the hardest place to walk holy was in the home. He realized that the true test of your holiness is with those people who live with you. And if you really want to know how holy Pastor Glaze is, you don't have to go far. There's about four or five people that you can ask. You know, you can ask them real quick, and they'll tell you, you know, how holy is Pastor Glaze. And you'll find out that I'm pretty holy. No, just kidding. But we need to realize that holiness is not only a part of our character, but it's a part of who we are in our home. That if we do things in our home that are inconsistent with our life in public, there's people that see that. And you know what they say? I mean, they might not come confront you boldly with it, but believe me, it's in their heart, man. Look at that hypocrite. Look at that. You know, how in the world are you going to get out here and talk about loving Jesus and stand up in church and raise your hands and send up prayer requests and all this and that? And you're one of the biggest devils in the home that I know. See, you know, this thing has got to work in the home too. It's got to be manifested in the home. Oh, I like what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, do you sing in the choir and sin in the chamber?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Resolutions to a Holy Life from Psalm 101. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Resolutions to a Holy Life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Resolutions to a Holy Life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Resolutions to a Holy Life, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.